Good evening. I'm Sean.
I'm Frank.
And this is Trauma Talk. Tonight we're going to talk about abuse. Part one, it's a big subject. Generational abuse, just general abuse, and how it affects us and the way that we treat others and how we do things.
Yeah, I think the whole generational thing is a big thing. When you look at families, it's consistent and constant, you know. It affects development of the whole unit. That's the thing, you know. It can be kind of, depressing at times when I think about it. It's just like you see families out there dying, so it's pretty... It goes from like generation to generation to generation.
Yeah, when we were working on this lesson tonight, we came across an old story that I did that came from Emory University back in 2013, a study they did. It's often well known as the mouse cherry blossom test. This test demonstrated that fear-conditioned memories can be inherited across generations. Male mice trained to fear the scent of cherry blossoms passed this aversion down to their offspring and grand offspring, who showed fear reactions despite never encountering the smell, through epigenetic changes. The key findings of the study... The methodology was researchers trained male mice to fear the scent of cherry blossoms, specifically the chemical, by pairing it with a mild electric foot shock. So the offspring of these mice were raised without exposure to the odor, yet they displayed high anxiety and fear behaviors when exposed to the smell. So the inheritance occurred in the sperm of the father, specifically affecting the M71 gene, which is responsible for detecting the cherry blossom odor. So the next generation not only had more neurons in their noses, they also had more structural space dedicated to detecting that specific smell. This study, published in Nature Neuroscience, provides evidence for the transgenerational inheritance of environmental information, suggesting that trauma or intense experiences can be passed down without direct exposure.
You know, whoever was listening to that was probably like,
what the heck
is he talking about?
I know,
you
for
know,
real.
When you study neuroscience, I'll tell you one thing, me being a trauma therapist, I thought I could just get the training and just do it. But then I began to think, I was like, well, a mechanic needs to know how a car operates. You know, a surgeon needs to know the anatomy of the body and how it functions and everything like that. So how can I be a trauma therapist, not understand how the brain works? That's a recipe for disaster. So I had to go back and learn. So when he said that, the key word in what he said, you can say epigenetic. They've done epigenetic studies on people when it comes to trauma being passed down in the DNA. And there's evidence-based stuff proving that it can be. So when you think about it, it's just like, because of the trauma I've been through, I'm passing it down to my kids. But it goes even further than that. When you have the abuse that occurs within the family and you're passing the trauma to your child, whether it's intergenerational trauma from
directly.
Slavery or whatever, right. Drugs or whatever, right? But you throw in just abuse that families are experiencing, whether it's sexual, emotional, or physical, it makes things more and more complex. So you're talking about like families that deal with lower social economic class, it's profoundly affecting them.
Well, and I, you know, I wanted to read it as it was written originally, but, you know, the key things that I really found interesting were three. First of all, that in the next generation of mice that were born, they already had more neurons to detect that. I mean, that's an evolutionary change that happened in one just
one father generation.
Father to son. Yeah. Father to son.
Yeah.
And it gives great credence to Exodus 34:7 when he says, it's the passing of sinful, dysfunctional, destructive behavioral patterns from parents to children. It's also noted in the Old Testament as visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. While these consequences can affect families, the Bible emphasizes personal accountability and the power to break these cycles through repentance and faith. And therapy, I can add to that. But even more importantly, I think it's good to understand that Jesus saved us from all that, thank God. Oh, well, mm-hmm. You know, through faith and grace, if we give ourselves over to him. But we still got to deal with the residual effects.
Right.
You know, I mean, what we went through growing up,
right.
The trials that we have in this life, you know,
mm-hmm.
And we got to learn to get through and work through those. So, you know, on the back of our cards, it says experience freedom. And that's what we want for everyone, is to get past these circumstances so they can experience freedom, Frank.
And that scripture is from the Old Testament, right?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, God always tells the truth.
Yeah.
All the time, throughout the Bible. You know, so here we are, we're in, I don't know when that study was, 2013, 2014?
Oh, the Emory, yeah.
Yeah. So here it is, just 2026. Science is saying God is right.
Always.
Is visible on third and fourth generation.
Always.
I see it. You know what I'm saying? It'd be an example. I'm working with this one young man, right? His father sexually assaulted all his kids in his family, right? His father has since died in prison from cancer or something like that. But his kid is beginning to have the same type of sociopathic behaviors that his father had. So let alone the gene, when you talk about genetically, epigenetics is being passed to him, but then the social learning of sexual perversion has been passed on him also. So then I think about Christian families who are adopting these kids into their family. You know, yeah, they're praying, they're doing all the right things, but are they connecting with the correct therapist or the correct godly person to allow Jesus to come into this life to bring freedom to this young man? Because if this man doesn't find any freedom, this young man doesn't find any freedom, he's jeopardizing community safety because how he is.
And any home that takes him.
Yeah, but then he'll be in prison for the rest of his life. That's not what he really wants. He wants freedom, but he doesn't know how to get there. And I meet people like this constantly. So we're talking about the whole thing that Christ has brought us freedom. Also, we got to have the connection with other people to make this change.
Which used to happen far more often, especially even in Jesus' time. People would gather around a tree, and that would be a Bible study today. You know what I mean? But now we have so many things that are distracting for us, you know, whether it's electronics, kids and parents. You know, I fully understand that we all need a break, and you know, it's so easy to fall into that pattern of just letting those things run, and then we're letting that tablet raise our children.
It was just like today I was reading something because we're thinking about doing something, and what this study was saying, it said community is therapy, right? So how connected does the community have to be for therapy to occur? Think about the early church. How connected were them individuals?
Right.
I mean, they were very, very connected with each other. Today, it's hard for me to make a connection with anybody within my church and to cause a change within me.
Yeah, and it's so much harder for people. People have begun to forget how to communicate face-to-face. You know, the simple body language, eye contact, even a subtle tone. You know, is just being removed from the equation. We'll text each other. And the worst part about that is when we get
impersonal.
Impersonal can be misinterpreted, you know, and create even more trauma. Because now we're sending them something that is open for their interpretation without knowing how our body language was when we were writing that, or, you know, where we would have if we were face-to-face. Also, I just want to remind everybody, the phones are open tonight. The number is 402-344-0660. Again, that's 402-344-0660. And Back to that.
You know, the thing is, we're talking about we want to bring true freedom to people. It's about the connection I have with the person. You know, the face-to-face exchange of energy connection, right? So if I got Jesus inside of me, his spirit inside of me, and I'm making that connection with you, I'm believing that exchange of energy will change you. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, today, the connection is so superficial, there's no energy exchange between the people, between individuals. It's very, very rare. And to me, you know, people have better connection with the tablet, the phone, TV, than with a person. That's what's hard when it comes to, like, we want to make a change.
Well, and then we hear things like that lawsuit against Roblox. Roblox about people who are predators getting on and communicating and finding it using it as a vehicle to communicate with children. And it's just it's horrifying that, mm-hmm. you know, because if we were taking the proper steps, that we'd be eliminating the ability for them to do that.
Yeah.
But the fact is, we're just not. I mean, again, don't get me wrong. It's hard for a parent to hall monitor constantly. You know? Kids are going to find ways to do what they want to do.
The hall monitor concept. I like that.
Yeah. But we definitely need to devote more time and energy to knowing at all times what our children are doing and what they're being exposed to the best that we can, you know, so that they don't take on unneeded trauma that we could have easily avoided, right?
Right. And when you talk about that study, we don't realize what we're passing on to our kids. When you're talking about, like when I think about back on my grandparents, you know, they were Methodists, but they go to church every Sunday. My grandmother, once a month, she'd be down there frying chicken for the church and selling chicken dinners, right? My grandfather would ride his lawnmower because we lived on the south side of Des Moines. And back then, there were dirt roads, right, back on the south side. Right. And he'd take his riding lawnmower and ride it like the 6 blocks to the church and cut the grass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But they had this way of being and believing, which affected my soul. You know what I'm saying? That's a thing that's absent nowadays. We need that for the change, a way of being and believing and acting. You know, we can talk about, like, acting like you're holy. Well, yeah, I don't need to act like the gangster down the street.
Right.
I don't need my pants to sag. I don't need to say cool words. I just need to be who God wants me to be so I can make an effect on somebody. I think that's a big thing. People want to, like, act like young people. I don't want to act like young people. I'm 64.
That's so funny. One of my kids said earlier something about I should be proud of her that she, I'm proud of her because she's a unique individual, but she was saying she's kind of a nerd, and I said, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you go ahead and nerd away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But back to the abuse. You see, you know, you can see the results of, abuse when it's been unchecked. They say, I saw one study that showed that the rate of acting out from one mm-hmm. person to, like, father to son or whatever, that there's a 90% chance. I attribute some of that to ignorance because they don't know any other way. Some of that is the anger issues they have anyway from what's done to them. And C, they're not even to the point where they recognize that they don't want to act out what's been acted out on them.
Right.
You know? And that's sad.
Because
mm-hmm. it's so freeing to let Christ into your life and to get the help you need to be free, but for some, it's so hard to take that first step,
right?
An admission,
right?
Because first you got to admit there's a problem before you can.
I tell people that all the time.
Yeah,
you know, and like I tell a lot of people that I'm working with, like dealing with complex trauma, I'd be like, "Live in reality. Tell me the truth."
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. They want to like lie. I'm like, "What are you lying about?" There's that lack of.
And for who?
Yeah. But we're trying to help you. Just tell us the truth. I don't care what you're doing.
I'll tell you.
I don't care what's going on.
When it says in the Bible, I'm the least of these, trust me. Mm-hmm. Trust and believe. All those who know me know I have failed miserably in my past. But you know what the most beautiful thing about that is? That I'm not bound by it today. You know? And for those who want to carry that, I feel for them. Mm-hmm. And I hope they get through that. But I'm free. I'm free.
You know, like we was talking earlier, right, before we came in, I'm like, what do you think, what, when talking about that generational, because a lot of people don't want to say generational sin, it's just, I got to hear things from my lineage. I do. You know what I'm saying? And some of those patterns, behaviors, I mean, epigenetics, they can study what we've inherited because how we act and what we do, right? So what would you say you've inherited? I mean, we did some serious talking.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the stuff you don't even want to tell people.
Yeah, substance, well, the substance and you know, past substance and drug abuse, for sure,
yeah.
You know. The fight or flee instinct, you know, and, you know, at all costs, trying to hold everything together, you know, even when there might not be something there to hold on to.
Right.
You know, but you're just trying with all your might because, you know, your mom always told you that she stuck through things no
right.
matter what. So,
right. yeah.
So I better just hold on. Yeah. So, but there are rewards from that also because sometimes other people do change too, mm-hmm. you know, and recognizing those little changes and seeing them. And it just, you know, it fills me with joy and love that I chose to stick through.
You talk about the substance use issue. This is the craziest thing. My grandfather's an alcoholic, right? My dad, who was involved in the Panthers, he was a cocaine addict. So guess what? I became an alcoholic, and guess what my brother used to like?
And a gangster.
Stop, man. Guess what my brother used to like? Guess what my brother likes?
What?
Crack.
Oh.
So how does that happen? But it's due to our genes. I mean, he's sober today, but we talk about me and him have talked, we talk about his perversion when it came to his addiction was sexual perversion was off the charts. And so when he starts getting sober, he's trying to live his life correctly.
He thinks
not be
he's
sucked
living
into that crazy stuff.
He thinks he's living his best life.
Yeah, he's living his best life. But the thing is, you know what the whole thing with him, he was like me and him are two different people. My dad was a player. He was married four times, right? And my brother took on some of his characteristics.
And a gangster.
And took on some of his characteristics. Guess what one of his characteristics were?
What?
Being a player. So that was guess what that would set him up for? Relapse. Because he's not being true to his wife. And then, you know, he goes down this sexual perversion type path and it sets him for a relapse up, right? But when I'm saying that because that's the kind of stuff people keep secret when it comes to trauma. And because they keep it secret, they can handle it in their own mind. My mind's the worst place in the world.
Well, just like for me, you know, it's so easy with addiction to convince yourself that you're okay, you know. And I was a different kind of character like that because I was fully functional. I could keep my business together, and I wasn't out all the time. You know, I could go months and not do anything, but eventually the anxiety and everything would build up to the point where I'm like, God, I got to go out tonight. And once I got a buzz, it was over.
Right.
You know? Here I'm thinking I'm the life of the party, and I'm sure half of the people are like, God, how do we get away
from this?
he's an idiot.
Knucklehead.
But gangster.
That's what you're talking about. If there's one book I read that's on itself, right? And so when you talk about a lot of trauma, you have this apparently normal part that's able to function and be okay, right? And handle life and function in life. But then at times you have this emotional part pops up, and you might have four or five different emotional parts that pop up. But guess what? When they pop up, it's on like popcorn.
Right.
The emotional part is not functioning anymore. Not the apparently the normal part is not functioning anymore. The emotional part takes over, but it gets triggered because something happens. And a lot of times you don't know what the trigger is. So when I'm working with people, I'm trying to figure out what is the trigger? What do you got to be aware of? What do you got to have this internal awareness of? And when you have this internal awareness, you have a connection with God. Guess what God can help you do? Overcome your awareness, because you have him dwelling with inside you to bring the inner peace that you need.
And break that bondage.
Break that bondage.
And that's what it really is bondage. You know, And here's the worst part is that scripture that tells you that you're held accountable for the knowledge that you have. Oh, trust and believe that's true. Mm-hmm. Because by the end of the night, I'd end up in a corner feeling terrible, not wanting, not communicating with anybody, just wanting to be left alone because I felt terrible.
Because you knew.
Yeah.
You know, it's that information that you're getting while you're growing up through the Bible or whatever it was. It's just like, I'm the worst thing on the planet.
Oh, let everybody down.
Yeah.
But mainly myself and God. Yeah. Remember, our number is 402-344-0660. Give us a call. You don't even have to give us your real name if you don't want to. Just
And we talk about, like, you know, no, I know there's people out there listening, right? But when you talk about calling it in, it's just like there's a fear.
Oh.
Maybe somebody will recognize my voice. I don't want nobody to know what the heck I'm
just like me.
I'm going through.
You know, some of those issues are in the distant, distant past. But you know, and I know that my family's listening. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And there's times when some of them are like, "Oh God, you know, you think you're perfect?" You know?
And no, I'm far from that.
Oh, I'm like, I'm far, far from that. I just back in the day, I chose to let things out in the wrong way as far as communicating. Also known as trauma vomiting. And so, you know, I might get drunk and then want to tell somebody my life story and why I'm doing what I'm doing as if they cared. And so today I just don't talk about that stuff as much. And I talk about it with the appropriate people that can help me through those feelings and emotions. So, yeah.
I think the big thing with us, we don't want to see kids experience what we've experienced.
Amen.
You know, that's the whole thing that I don't want to see. I don't want to see them suffer through that pain, and I want to see them continue suffering with that pain. Because when you see them going through this pain, being in the 21st century and there's nobody there, it's like the pain is magnified like 3,000 times. I don't even know, like, at my age, I tell kids all the time that I work with, I'm like, I don't know how you do it in the 21st century. When you're talking about social media, when you're talking about friends you got to deal with, a certain way you got to act, you know, who am I going to trust to tell?
Status quo.
Who am I going to trust to tell them what my real pain is? Who? What? I just got to carry that stuff on the inside.
And where are you going to put it? Because some people put it everywhere.
Yeah.
I guess.
And see, when you talk about, when you sharing the part about like how I'm carrying all this stuff, and then I all of a sudden just explode, go out on a drinking binge or whatever, right? These kids are young. They explode.
Oh.
What? Suicide, cutting, you know.
Running away.
Yeah. Drug usage. I got one kid. Man, he was, and I don't know why they send kids out of state and state.
Fighting.
Wait a minute. I'm going to share this with you. I don't know why they send kids out of state and state of Nebraska to these places
gangsters.
Like Provo and stuff like that. I don't know why they send them there, because those are nothing but training grounds for prison. Because I've talked to kids that came from them places. It's worse than staying here. It's worse than staying at home. I mean, it's a waste of money. I don't even understand it. It just makes me mad when I think about it. But this kid told me he was down in a place in Arizona. There, you know, it was like a, what they used to call LCC, Gladiator School.
Oh.
Back in the day, because, you know, all the fights and all that, right? So it was like he's at this place, this Gladiator School, right? This kid is 15 years old, right? He runs. Walking through the desert, ends up in some town. Guess what he ends up doing down there? Fentanyl. Dude, how are you doing fentanyl at the age of 15? You mean the state of Nebraska is paying you to go somewhere out of state to get the help that you need, and you end up doing fentanyl? And then when he gets here, they were so scared to bring him back. He's a client of mine. He's doing fantastic now, but they bring him back here? They didn't know what to do with him.
After you told him not to take him out of there in the first place.
But I'm just talking about, this is big waste of money. State of, and people think, oh, I'm doing good by turning my kid over to the state of Nebraska, and then they send him out of state. They're sending them to hell.
Hey, Frank, you know the reason why they called that the Gladiators, right?
Because they're training to fight. They're training for.
Because they were gangsters. But anyway, so we're going to take a break, and we'll be back. Trouble Talk.
Sports and Imports since 1990. The place to find your next car or truck. 12 months, no interest financing. Cars and trucks to meet all your needs from $1,500 to $20,000. Two locations to serve you at 8825 Maple Street and 136th and Millard Ave. Call for more info, 402-390-0500. Sports and Imports.
Welcome back. I'm Sean.
I'm Frank.
This is Trauma Talk. So, Frank, you were getting pretty animated this last segment right before our break. It was kind of gangster.
No, all right. Don't. But the thing is, when you talk about it, it bothers me with the waste that they do when they say, hey, they're helping kids with that trauma. The only thing you're doing is making it worse.
I told Frank on the break that I haven't heard him get that upset since he was defending not having to go to church every Sunday. So, yeah. He got really upset.
I don't have to go to church every day Sunday to go to heaven.
What are you trying to say? My minister says that stuff.
I don't have to go to church every Sunday to make it heaven.
Yeah.
You know?
Right? If that helps, you know, I mean, it is spiritually cleansing. And it, you know, I really believe that it does help. And it brings us in that community of believers. And the more we're around that, like one of the hangups that I think the biggest hangups that people have that are getting sober or they're trying to change their life is
you can't tell them.
A, they feel like the friends or family are going to be boring, right? Because they don't know how to live sober, mm-hmm. So they're like, man, I got to hang out with those nerds, man. That ain't my choice. But the more you surround yourself around those good people, mm-hmm. in church and other places, the more chance you have of being accepted, feeling accepted, and getting a sense of belonging. You know, that's the biggest part, is being a part of the overall body, something bigger and greater than ourselves. Romans 12:5 talks about, so in Christ, we who are many are one body, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And that's really where we want to get to, be one body of healed, free, mm-hmm. happy,
right?
Not right. Wanting drama and crisis individuals.
Do you know what I was laughing about?
What?
I tell these people all the time about, like, going to church, it's a safe place. There's peace there. You know, if you go someplace where somebody's getting high at, it's unbelievable. Or going to the club or the bar, it's unbelievable. Or, I gotta watch this, I gotta watch that. But when I go to church, guess what? I can sit there and just be quiet. I ain't looking over my shoulder. I ain't looking at this person over here. I ain't worrying if I'm gonna get beat up.
Frank,
I'm safe.
I remember when I went to a church like yours one time and they were handing the basket around so many times that I didn't have any money left by the time
my church only hands the basket out once. Oh, that's okay, the end of service. Right. Because some churches do, they pass it around and they be collecting.
That was like
money.
A 3-hour service, and they were like, listen, Betty's going to Vegas this week, and we got to give Betty some money to go there.
My church ain't like that. Our service is only like an hour and a half or so. Two hours if you go to Sunday school. You know what I'm saying? Because I like Sunday school.
Right, and I respect Betty's church. I really do. It was different. And so they asked me while I was leaving early, I said, I don't have any money left to give.
Sometimes I don't give no money because I ain't got none.
Real story.
I know. If I ain't got no money, I got to give money to be in church. I'm in the wrong church.
They were looking at me crazy anyway for being new.
that's what you're talking about. Is this a church that I need to be at? Because you're treating me different. When you talk about an addict or alcoholic or somebody has a lot of trauma, can I really come in and disclose to you what the heck's going on? Or are you going to, like, judge me or whatever?
Right.
Am I going to be okay? You talking about, you know, you're Christ-like. Christ accepted everybody. He didn't judge you.
Absolutely. And judgment takes on so many forms, too. And, you know, just tell us about that friend of yours that went to that church and was homeless and what happened to him. Your friend, that family that was homeless?
We're going to name no names.
No.
We ain't going to say nothing. No, you know,
of course not.
But this guy had his own issues. He smoked weed. He's attended church. And remember, we had that cold snap. Below zero, I don't know, 10 or 15, I don't know, 5 or 10 days in a row. Him, his daughter, and his wife were in this trailer. One of them camping
trailers. Like a flatbed trailer?
No, one of the trailers you camp in. It's like 10 below zero outside.
It didn't have a furnace?
Well, they had like a little blow in there, but you don't want your 14-year-old daughter in there. You know what I'm saying?
Any daughter.
Yeah. Anybody? But the thing is, you would thank somebody in the church and be like, oh, let's get some money together and get the hotel room
for this cold
strip. Because it's so cold. Stretch. Guess what? It didn't happen. And so to me, if I'm being Christ-like and I'm trying to help somebody in a traumatic situation, I'm going to help them get out of that, get to someplace warm and normal so they can feel, guess what? Safe.
Welcome.
Welcomed and safe.
And it's part of the body, the family, the church. And that's one thing we talk a lot about, people that are so well-intentioned and then they start fighting amongst each other. We talk about it in reference to grants and things like that. But it also applies to just a word to the wise, if somebody's going to start a church, make sure you're equipped to take on anything, within reason. But when somebody comes to us, those are the very people that Jesus took into his ministry.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's the thing that's like with me, because I help anybody, regardless of who they are and what they're going through. People think there's something wrong with that. I just follow the example what Jesus has shown.
What did Jesus say? I didn't come to heal. I didn't bring life. Yeah, I didn't come to heal the people that were well.
Yeah, I came to heal the ones that were broken.
Sick and wounded.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think a lot of times that's my purpose, or our purpose, to bring sight to the blind and healing to the ones that are wounded, because there's so many wounded people out there. And that's what we're really about.
And you know what the hardest part about going through things like EMDR and facing our pain and stuff in ways that we didn't used to, which was to run and avoid it or throw up enough chaos that we didn't have to deal with it, is facing it head on. Is such a fearful thing at first, but it's so freeing once we get through it and we find out that all those things that we thought were such huge deals really don't matter that much in the end,
Yeah.
It matters who we are through Christ today,
not
who we were. Who I am.
And you go back to that generational type stuff, is like, is the church really equipped to deal with or handle people like that today?
Right.
I think the answer would be no.
Many are not.
No, they're just not equipped or prepared to help people like that.
Well, look, Frank, we had this experience where we were trying to get people, get some different places to direct people for this show, and people would tell us, well, we don't have a directory for. We had the hardest time finding, and we still didn't. I think, because people were getting paid to have that directory, so they didn't want to give that information up. And it's really about making sure that we're able to send people wherever they need to go to get the right kind of help, because not everyone is equipped to do everything. So we need resources in each other. And without sharing those resources, it makes it really hard to help others.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Because I know since me and you have been working together, how long have we been working together now? Like about?
Well, knowing each other for about 30 years.
But since we started this endeavor, what we're working toward.
A few months, yeah.
Six months?
6 months, yeah.
And so I know you hear the stories that I've been hearing for the last 10 or 12 years.
Years.
Yeah. And so it begins to affect you. There's an urgency that we have. It's an urgency to save lives.
Right.
It's an urgency to save, change families. It's an urgency to change young people. When you talk about like this generational type stuff you're talking about, you want to like break the back of that. You want to see families experience freedom.
And reverse the course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that we're headed. And we can't do it. We have to do it as a community. You know, we're the ones here, right here in our community, that understand what's going on better than anyone else outside.
Right.
So we need to start helping each other from within and start caring about each other, you know, instead of always just driving past things and pretending like they're not there. Yeah, we need to face those things as a community and as God-fearing individuals, you know. We drove by a block downtown the other day, and oh my gosh,
I felt like I was that homeless encampment.
Yeah, I thought I was outside of Vegas, and you know, outside of the Strip. There's a whole block of a community there, and it's like, how do we allow this in a small community?
Does
we're
anybody
really
care?
Still small. Yeah.
Does anybody care?
Yeah.
Because when you think about us, me and Sean, we're talking to people about all the time and what we're doing, but you know, we'll hear, oh. Like, I've been hearing this for 3.5 years. This is how long I've been trying to do this. Oh, that's a good idea. Well, I'm not talking just because it's a good idea.
We need to
come together to help our community heal. I don't care if I'm talking to somebody at a church or this organization over here. Oh, that's a good idea. Good ideas don't save lives.
Right. And I'm relentless when it comes to achieving things once I put my mind to it. So
he talks more than I do.
Oh, gosh. It's because he's gangster.
But yeah. I think that's what brought us together, you know, because he's a businessman and I know nothing about business, but I have this technical knowledge.
You have a lot of that.
I need to team up with somebody so we can make this happen.
Great.
You know what I'm saying? But as far as like this intergenerational stuff, it's a huge.
We're going to make Omaha great again.
No,
for real.
Oh, you just won some enemies because there might be some Trump supporters out there, man.
But for real, and we can't rely. I've said this before, and I'll say it again.
Money.
We can't rely on government money being thrown at everything because it's not there anymore. We got to start doing this stuff here, you know. And I see we throw our money in so many different directions and. We need to focus on the war that's taking place right here in Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the war to save lives, the war to save our children, to save families, to bring people back together again.
Because you were talking about like how Christ can change things. It's Christ in the community that changes things that work together. When you bring a body of believers together, they can help.
Anything can happen.
Yeah. They can help bring healing. They can help bring change, and that's our goal. You know, that's the goal. Because it's like I think about people calling. We haven't heard anybody, but we know people are out there listening, right? And so the thing is, disguise your voice. Do whatever. You got like you know, I had somebody talk about something in the book of Proverbs. I don't know where it's at. It was talking about seeking Christ, and I had a pastor tell me this one time. He said, if you had some bare hands and there's $1 million worth of gold behind that wall, how hard would you get to it?
Yeah.
My hands would be bloody.
Yeah.
You got to seek Christ the same way. You got to seek healing the same exact way. It can't be like, 9 to 5 or whatever.
And like I said that I'm relentless, we have to be relentless about our pursuit to be and remain free. Not only for ourselves, but for the people who love us and the people that we're reaching out to, because we are the example, and we can change. We can change this generational scars, you know, and you know, if we come back to Christ and we get help, we can be free, and you know, and heal our community and our land.
Well, that's the thing. When you said remain free, when you talk about if you got a history of trauma and addiction, I've been doing this for over 25 years, so there's people that can remain free for a minute, a year or two, and then
devil comes in.
Yeah, and then they go
He's
back
the
into the bondage.
Gangster.
And then when he comes back, what does the Bible say about bringing 7 more?
Oh, demons. Then
it's harder to get back.
Look at the guy in the cemetery.
Oh.
He had legion.
Yeah.
Legion of demons.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's more on them than they're trying to get back out. You know what I'm saying?
You know why? You know, one reason that I've heard that the, do you know why the demons asked to be put into the swine and ran into the ocean? What were swine considered?
Oh, just the...
Defiled,
yeah.
Dirty,
yeah. So that's why they wanted to go. I never heard that before.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I got a lot of useless knowledge. Just listen.
It's actually good knowledge, you know. He actually,
makes
I think...
Makes sense, though.
He's actually one of the people that probably studied the Bible more than I have.
Oh, goodness.
He's got a lot of knowledge, more than what I have.
And for a long time, didn't use it. So now we're putting it into practice and use it.
So
I'm grateful to be here for you, our listeners today. I'm grateful for the changes that we're going to make in our community. And most of all, I'm grateful to my children and my family. So
I remember the time you wouldn't even say that.
No. I wouldn't even acknowledge things in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... And Frank deals with a myriad of issues every day in his life too.
Oh, yeah.
And Frank, I'm so grateful and proud to be your friend and to get to be on this journey with you. And then we got this engineer named Cam.
You know what I was trying to say? When
he's
somebody tells you
to be on the journey. But he does a really good job. Thanks, Cam.
You know what I was told to say?
What?
I used to tell people, oh, you ain't gotta say all that.
Oh.
You know what somebody tell me? Just say thank you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thank
just
you.
Acknowledging what they what
and
they
we,
say.
And we couldn't be here without Cam. I mean, he makes it all work. And last week he put the dial tone up when the phone wasn't working. But most of the time he's like flawless.
Yeah, you got to keep you guys on your toes, you know.
Yeah, he does that. He does that for sure. So last chance to call in, 402-344-0660. Again, that's 402-344-0660. We stumbled into each other, but we ended up being on the same path. It definitely, God definitely had a part in all that.
You know, when you talk about just how, like, it being a God thing, that's when I was living out of Elkhorn. And, you know, a lot of people, over the last couple of years, because of my wife's health issues, and I'm her caretaker, you know, it's hard to find me, people say. I'm like, just look on Psychology Today. Google Frank Bailey, I'll pop up. You know what I'm saying?
Because
people say it's hard to find me,
Franklin.
Right?
Franklin.
And so
people don't
was,
think about
we was living that. In, we was living in Elkhorn. We're shopping in Walmart. And there's Sean.
His whole family.
His whole family. He's like, Frank,
yeah.
Where you been? I've been trying to find you. I'm like, well, I've been here in Omaha. You're hard to find. I'm like, really? But I'm just saying, just us running into each other, that's a God thing to put us on this path.
Frank, do you know what that is, though?
What?
That's the gangster in you.
You'll never let it go. You'll never
real.
Let it go.
For real.
You'll never let it go.
You'll never.
You know.
Just for tonight. So, but yeah, that it definitely was. It was God. And it was at the right time for both of us, Frank. You know, like we were both in this place of desolation where. We were like, man, what do I want to do with the?
Well, I've always known what I want to do, but it's finding the correct partner.
Way to do it, and the
correct
people to be around.
Well, I'm talking about the correct. I went through a lot of different people, and a lot of times people don't have your best interest at heart. They're trying to steal from you so many different things. I've been through that, and it's like
they do that,
huh?
People do that.
Man, it's like I've been beat up from the floor up. You know,
but
the thing is, it's not a bad thing when it comes to like experiences. It's my experiences that brought me to this point.
Right.
That's it. You know,
right.
I may think it's like it may make me feel a certain way, and it does, which prepared me for where I'm at right now. And we talk about with trauma, it's the same exact thing. I be telling people, they be thinking like, once you process it, I mean, it's what it is. It's in the past, but God got you on a journey, and He's going to make you into something. It's going to be better than what you've been. I think that's what everybody wants when they got this complex trauma. They're trying to figure out, how do I get out of this? What can I do?
How can I be the best version
that
God wants
me
to be for myself?
Yeah.
Because if I do it purely for self, it's not going to work in the end.
Well, know? When you talk about your story, like, man, I've robbed and taken from this world. I've hurt everybody around me for God knows how many years, right? So I'm at this point in my life, how can I make the world a better place? I have a purpose. It's not to destroy, kill, and be the best dope fiend that I can be. is to bring life into this world.
And light.
Yeah. And that's what people be like, oh, something wrong with Sean. He must be crazy.
Mm.
No, God's came to life, and he's shown me a way to go.
I'm too cool for that. No, so anyway, we're going to wrap things up, and I just want to let everybody know to, man, love each other. And if you don't know how to do that in this moment, just give each other a hug.
You know, my pastor told me, what? He must have heard the show last week.
That you're a gangster?
No. He said, you know what you took from the show?
What?
What you said just right there.
Yeah.
Love each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at all costs, don't judge. There is freedom. Till next week, we'll see you. Oh, yeah. Reach us at traumahouseofhealing@gmail.com or 402-813-2317. Yeah, if you need to reach out during the week, please do. We're here again. Till next week.
Sports and Imports since 1990. The place to find your next car or truck. 12 months, no interest financing. Cars and trucks to meet all your needs from $1,500 to $20,000. Two locations to serve you at 8825 Maple Street and 136th and Millard Ave. Call for more info, 402-390-0500. Sports and Imports.